This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Z Live, off the record with Shivago Langs, brought to you in part by Burger King, Fidelity Bank, Money Managers Company Limited, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Langs, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I hope you have a great weekend and that you are doing grand as much as can be done. You can be in the environment in which we now find ourselves. If you want to at all give us a call today at some point, you are free to do so on any of the following numbers, 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259, 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. You can catch us live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother does it. Or BTC Flow channel 612. Today, I want to look with you more carefully at the economy to see exactly what's going on, because as we have now moved into some new phase of existence, that's the best as I could put it, as we have moved into some new phase of existence, it seems to me that we need to more clearly, I think, appreciate what that phase of existence is. And so I want to speak to that today. But just before I do, let me just express deep and heartfelt condolences to the Thompson family in Grand Bahama on the passing of Mr. Michael Thompson, businessman, a gentleman I knew for many years, a gentleman who, from I was a boy, a young man, and he kind of followed my progress, and he would always encourage me, would always compliment me on my doings, and up to even when I had my sojourn in politics or not, and he was always very gracious that way. But I want to express my condolences to his family, one of whom happens to be a good friend of mine, someone you know quite well, Darren Cash, and that's his uncle, actually. And so I want to express condolences to his family on his passing. So this, we heard from the Prime Minister last night, and essentially the Prime Minister said he wanted to basically encourage us and to give us some guidance as we entered a new phase, he said, of opening up the economy. And so he wanted to warn to maintain the various protocols that have been put in place for trying to minimize the spread of COVID. And so, but basically he was saying more and more, he's going to seek to open the economy quite on about face, given where we were just about a week ago. We have clearly, the government has taken a different policy posture to dealing with COVID going forward. I don't want to get into that at the moment, because today I have 1 hour. There is going to be an education press conference today at 3 o'clock. which I am eager to hear my own self. And so we got 1 hour today. But I thought within that less than 1 hour now, we could put some things into context with respect to the economy. Because I'm hearing us talk about opening the economy or waiting for the economy to open or needing the economy to open. And the thing about it is, for me, is that simplistic adoption of language about the economy misses an essential point about the economy. And I want us to see that point today because it might help you think about where we are in a different way. First of all, let me say that when we're talking about the economy, we're talking about all the multitude of transactions that take place between us and between ourselves and other people outside the country that involves buying and selling. I mean, that's basically, we're talking about the collective amount of buying and selling that happens throughout the country, which we define as the economy, whether that takes the form of production, so you're buying and selling to the extent of producing items, or distribution, you're buying or selling with respect to getting a item from one place to another, or you're buying and selling with respect to the consuming of something, the actual use of it, the eating of the buying and eating of the food, the buying and getting of a haircut. Essentially, all of those transactions collectively come to define the economy. Okay, so it's very important to see the economy on a transaction basis, as opposed to some global nebulous thing that you talk about opening and closing up as if it's a door to a house that you open and close up. They ain't the same thing. It's a bunch of transactions that individuals participate in, that businesses participate in, and that the government participates in, right? If you were in economics, you would say the households, and then you talk about the government as entities, right? Operating in that economy, right? But these are transactions. Now, I want you to stay with me. These transactions taking place, whether or not they take place, depend on a number of things. One, it depends on the availability of money and or credit. All right, no money, no credit, limited transaction in a modern economy, okay? So money and credit matters to whether or not you actually have transactions. Then there is the flow of available money and credit. So you have to not only have the money and the credit, if the money and the credit can't move from the buyer to the seller, from the seller to the buyer, then you still can't have a transaction take place. So there has to be the ability of the money to flow. Then there's some velocity associated with the movement of the money. How fast does it move? In a growing dynamic economy, the money moves faster, meaning that from buyer to seller to next buyer and seller, you can have those transactions take place very quickly. And so the velocity matters too, and that velocity can be determined by any number of things. And then finally, those transactions depend on something so fundamental, we hadn't even think about it or even place it in our economic models. What is that? Trust. Okay, so if a buyer doesn't trust the seller and a seller doesn't trust the buyer, can transactions take place? No. If a creditor doesn't trust a borrower, can a borrower actually get the money? No. All right? And if you can't get buyers and sellers to trust each other to transact, what difference does it make what velocity the money's doing or whether there's ability for the money to flow or not? So trust is critical. So I want you to remember these four things because these are going to speak to where we are in this economy. The availability of money and credit, the flow of available money, the velocity of that money, and trust that underpins the entirety of the transactional exercise. Okay, so let's look then and ask ourselves about the availability of money in the current circumstances, right? Well, let's look at availability of money, what it depends on, right? So having money depends on trade, right? Both domestic trade, meaning the ability for me to sell my labor to an employer who therefore then pays me for that while we are here both operating in the Bahamas' space. That's domestic trade. Depends on me being able to go to the food store and to give the food store man some money to get some food, but I have had to earn that money through some means, right? So that's trade allows me to do that. Similarly, if I'm buying from somebody abroad or somebody abroad is buying from me, then also that too makes money available, okay, in order for transactions to take place, in order for there to be available money. There is also the availability of money is therefore dependent on employment prospects or employment, how much employment is taking place. Is employment rising or falling? You know, that matters to the availability of money because people earn through that employment. And if you're getting increased employment, then that means the businesses doing the employing are actually earning more monies and therefore monies is available. It also depends on commercial activity because the businesses are the ones who actually employ and supply all the goods and services in the economy. And so the extent to which there's increased commercial activities, the extent to which they are being more profitable, earning revenues, and therefore having making monies available. Okay, so let's then look at the lockdowns initially, the initial lockdowns. In the initial lockdowns, we talk about we shut down our economy, right? That is essentially what we did. But what we really did was severely reduced the economic transactions taking place in the country. That's what we did. We said, you got to stay home. Most people had to stay home. Only essential operations could happen. Therefore, it was severely reduced what we could actually transact on. Okay, we could buy food, but we couldn't buy movies. We couldn't buy haircuts. We couldn't buy as much of it, right? There were many things we couldn't buy because we had a severe lockdown as we tried to curb this virus that we didn't know much about in the early stages. Okay, so we did that. Now, where are we with those transactions? That's the question. Not whether the economy is open or closed or not, because quite frankly, as long as you have any transactions taking place in the economy, it's open. The extent to which it is allowing transactions, that's a different story. It is practically impossible to really close an economy down and not have enormous, just enormous, you could probably have people die if you close it down long enough, right? So we're talking about really how much transactions, economic transactions, are being allowed in the economy. Now, this is where I want you all to appreciate some things. Because as I listen to the dialogue from time to time, I don't think people are thinking clearly about this whole issue. Right now, today, if you look at the domestic and international economy, if you want to understand the extent to which it is in quote, open, ask yourself, in terms of the domestic and international economy, what transaction cannot take place? That's the question. Ask yourself the question, what buying and selling cannot take place? Let's go down the list. If you look at the government's orders, orders that are essentially setting the parameters on what we can do or not do, let's look at what transaction cannot take place. Can you purchase from grocery stores? Can you? Yes. You could do so between 6 a.m. and 9 p.m. So all those transactions could take place. between 6 a.m. and 9 p.m. I think that's almost a longer period of time than we used to have pre-COVID. All right. Can you purchase from the pharmacy? Yes, you can. Between 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. Can you purchase gas? Yes, you can. Between 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. Can you purchase from a hardware store? Yes, you can. Between 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. 9 p.m. Can you get water? Yes, you can. Can a private medical facility be open? Yes, it can, from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And it can do immunizations, neonatal, prenatal care, dialysis, chemo, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Dental practices? Yes. Can you do banking transactions? Yes, you can, between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. I don't even remember ever going to my bank prior to 10 o'clock before COVID, right? Much less having them open till 5 p.m. Can you do international banking transactions and trust transactions and financial institutional transactions? Yes, you can, between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Can you do financial services transactions? Yes, you can. You can do them between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Can you do any insurance transaction, brokerage transaction and the like? Yes, you can, between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Can you do law transactions? Yes, you can, between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Can you do real estate agent and brokerage transactions? Yes, you can, between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m., Monday to Saturday. Can you do architectural engineering, surveying, and these kinds of things? Yes, you can, between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Can you do money transmission services transactions? Yes, you can. Can you do pool maintenance and landscaping services transactions? Yes, you can, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Can you do retail bank? Man, listen, I could go on and on and on. Essentially, what you would have to do now is to answer this question for me. What transaction can you not do? There are some, but there is a gang of transactions that can be done. And that's on the domestic front. Let's look on the international front. Can you sell a hotel room to a non-Bahamian traveling to the Bahamas? Yes, you can. Right? Yes, you can. Can they purchase an airplane from abroad to the Bahamas? Yes, they can. Is tourism open? Yes, it is. Right? Can you buy an excursion? Yes, you can. Can you buy a tour? Yes, you can. What transactions can't you do? We talk about this closed economy. What transaction can you not do in terms of buying and selling? All right? That's very important. Actually, what we have is an economy permitted to do, I would say, conceivably 90% of all the transactions you and I could ever imagine pre-COVID. 90%. And to the extent that we are allowing these on the major islands of the country, New Providence, Grand Bahama, Abaco, and so forth, we are allowing the bulk of the economic centers of the country to be transacting this way. In the Southern Isles, we are literally allowing them to transact in any way. But here is the difference. So this is not a question of whether the economy is closed or open, or whether we can open up the economy. Now, that's not what the issue is. The issue is whether we are going to, one, free up the other transactional areas of the economy not now allowed to transact, like the straw vendors and let me give you some of them, the gyms. You can't buy them now, spas and the casinos and stuff. So those are not allowed now to transact. So you can't buy them. So will we allow them to now transact? Will we remove the curbs, the conditionalities attached to the other transactions? That's the question. Because here is an example of the conditionality attached to one of the economic transactions. Can a tourist buy a ticket to the Bahamas? Absolutely. Can a tourist come and buy a hotel room from the Bahamas? Absolutely. Can a tourist purchase fare to go to their destination? Yes. Can they purchase an excursion by boat? Yes. Can they purchase? Yes. But guess what? They can do all those things with conditions, though. But one of the conditions is got to have a COVID-19 negative test. Two, have to come and quarantine under mandatory quarantine for 2 weeks when you come here. And so forth. Three, if you're going on an excursion, it could only be two of you in the boat, right? And so, or you got to stay on the premise, the property after curfew and all this. So it isn't that the economy isn't open and it isn't that the economy is closed. It is that a multitude of transactions that are permissible are now permissible under conditions. You can go to a restaurant, but you got to go curbside. You can't stay indoors. You can go outside if the proper protocols are in place. So that's the question here. It's not that whether we have an open economy or closed economy. It's whether it's the extent to which there are attached to each economic transaction conditionalities that make the may or may not make the transition more or less difficult. And for the other transactions not now permissible, when will they become permissible? So I don't want anybody to talk about it opening up our international borders because it ain't closed. It ain't closed to tourists. It ain't closed to Bahamians. Okay, we have a tourism sector that is open. It just has conditionalities that might impede the extent of the transactions possible in or people are willing to undertake in that sector. That's a fundamental issue. The conditionalities around the transactions that we can undertake in the economy and in some of those transactions, for instance, before COVID, any of us could go to the food store and shop. In COVID, there's still a requirement for a designated shopper. So you can still spend the same amount of money. You just got one person who have to spend it. And so that may require some different behavior. And all of those things can influence, yea, impact the extent of economic activity in the country. Okay. And so we're going to talk about that when we come back. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody. Come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
Retire, you should do it your way. Unlike an annuity, Royal Fidelity's personal retirement account puts you in the driver's seat with the flexibility to change with your lifestyle. You choose when, how much, and how often to receive your pension payments. Plus, you'll have access to the best performing investment funds in the market. That means your money keeps working even when you aren't. Retire your way with an RF personal retirement account. Call us today at 603-6000 to learn more. Royal Fidelity. Money at work.
Everyone loves the classic flavor of chicken and waffles. Now you can have it for breakfast at Burger King Nassau. Enjoy a juicy, lightly breaded chicken patty served between two sweet, warm waffles and a side of syrup that makes a sweet and savory breakfast sandwich you can have on the go. Add Burger King's signature coffee and hash rounds, and you have a great way to start your day. The chicken and waffle breakfast sandwich is here at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king. Burger King NASA is now open at 6 a.m.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. where we're talking about the economy and COVID's impact on it, but trying to clarify an issue about whether it's closed or open enough. You can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259 today, or you can text us on 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I have to tell you, we only have left now about 25 minutes because there is an education press conference today at 3, and we'll be breaking for that education press conference. So even to the extent that religious and educational instruction involves any economic transaction, they are open. They are open. They are available. They are able to be done, saving except there are conditionalities attached to them. Okay? Funerals, to the extent that they involve economic transactions. Weddings, to the extent that they involve economic transaction. Tourism facilities, attractions, etc. All of them you can do and conduct transactions. Restaurants, you can do transactions in. So all, we can buy and sell in any and all of those areas, but there are certain conditions underpinning how we do those activities. Fishing and harvesting of crabs, even. You can transact in those areas. Man, you could even go to the park to the extent that that involves any economic transaction. But again, there are conditionalities that are attached to how we do that. Is the economy open? Absolutely, it is. How open is it? It is extremely open. But are the transactions in that economy being liberally allowed to take place? Not so much, because there are conditionalities attached to those transactions. And it is those transactions and that those conditionalities that make us, gives us this sense that, well, we are not so open. Okay? Now, let's say the government says, okay, forget the conditionalities. We are going to return to normal modes of transaction now. Whatever prevailed prior to now, to COVID, will now be reestablished. No more conditionalities. No COVID test for travelers, no quarantine for travelers, no curfew, all that kind of stuff. We can all just return to our own normal transacting. Okay, let's say that happened. So all the spas can open, all the gyms can open, everything that you know and define as an, in quote, open economy is now possible. But COVID-19 as a virus remains a prevalent reality for ourselves. Let's say that still happens. So yes, you can do whatever the hell you want, however you want to do it, but there is still the prospect of people being affected by COVID, much smaller numbers of people dying from COVID still. Under that circumstance, guess what remains true? The level of economic transactions taking place in the country will still depend on the availability of money, which means that it would still depend on how much employment there is, how much commercial activity there is, how much profitability there is in that commercial activity, so forth and so forth. Will still depend on the flow of money, how much money is able to move up and down freely in the economy. It will still depend on the velocity of money. And here is the big, 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 big thing in terms of dependence. It will still depend on trust in the economy. Whether someone still trusts enough to go to this place and buy and sell, to that place and buy and sell, and so forth. So it will still depend on the extent to which people are comfortable sitting in your restaurant, still depend sitting in your spa chair, and so forth and so forth. Just as Sweden did, figured out when it did not do all the shutting down, but people were still concerned that many people curbed their own spending in certain areas, and Sweden's economy shrunk by 20-something percent, almost the same as the economies that shut down. So the government relaxing the extent of transacting in the economy does bring new possibilities of economic transaction to the economy, but cannot in and of itself bring you back to the level or even close to the level of economic transactions, saving and accept that there is a return of a level of trust on the part of people transacting in the economy, or the level of means of people transacting in the economy. So those things have to be factored in when we think about how what we want and expect out of the economy. Now, let me say something to you. Even if we return to pre-COVID transactional behavior in terms of no conditionalities, this economy will have a long way to go before it is able to reach even pre-COVID levels of economic activity. Why? Because there are companies that shared employees who are now unemployed that will not return, notwithstanding that that happens. They will not return. There are others who will return, but who will not return with the level of employment they had prior to COVID for some time. And there are others who will return that where, notwithstanding their level of sales being what it was prior to COVID, they will have learned that they don't need as many employees or desire as many as employees as they had before, because they can be more profitable without them. That's the first thing. So employment prospects in the country will lag any liberalizing of the economic transactions and removal of the conditionalities around those transactions going forward. Secondly, trust will not be restored to an abundant level until there is a sense on the part of people that they are not at risk of catching this virus, notwithstanding they understand that you don't have to die from it, they don't want to get sick from it, and they don't want to make nobody sick in their environments who they love and think can be vulnerable. So they will continue to curb their behavior until they can move freely without that fear in the economic environment, especially one that is geared towards interface transactions, interpersonal transactions. That is true for the traveler, that is true for the shopper, and everywhere. Even where I am, where there is more liberal movement and not the closures that we have seen in the Bahamas, people are not transacting at the levels that they did prior to COVID. They are being much more cautious. And that caution is itself an impediment to economic transactions. Let me give an example. There are places in the United States of America, movie theaters, that largely cater to retired people. Mostly, where they are situated, take Palm Beach as an example. Lots of retired elderly people. Even when the movie theater in a more robust, younger territory opens, that one ain't gonna open up. Why? Not until people feel safe enough to be able to transact in that way. There's elderly people. And those elderly people, they sitting on retirement money. Plenty of people who work in so tight, they can't afford all that time in no movie theater. These elderly people, that's their routine thing. Twice a week, maybe. Going out to dinner three, four times a week won't happen because the level of trust will not be there to enable them or to give them the comfort to do it. So it's important to recognize that we're not simply talking about, in quote, opening up an economy to removal of the conditionalities around the transactions that take place within an economy. We're talking about that internal level of comfort that each economic agent, that's you and me, would have in moving about and transacting in the economy. And so long as there remains a level of imminent threat, our caution curbs our behavior and in turn curbs the economic transactions that we would ordinarily participate in. And it cannot be understated. It is a real phenomenon. And everything in has risk associated with it, but no, all risks are not the same. That's why we have beta measures as an example in finance, because not all risks are the same. So the risk of things I know very well, like the flu, like the cold, like tuberculosis, is less because I know them so well. Because uncertainty, risk is about uncertainty. But the risk about things I know less, especially things that move fast, is higher. Because I have less certainty and they are more quickly impactful. All right? So that the risk associated with a hurricane is not the same as the risk associated with a tornado, the same as the risk associated with an earthquake. And the extent of our knowledge and preparation and ability to prepare in each sphere is the extent to which the risk profile of them are different. And nothing speaks to that more clearly than how insurers are prepared to insure in those circumstances. So if you start to have more frequent category five storms, they change their mathematical models to reflect that increased knowledge about the risk. And so COVID is still in that realm of significant uncertainty. Less so than before now, but still in that realm that people are not prepared to simply go back to pre-COVID behavior. And so long as they're not prepared to do that, you will not and we will not have the level of economic transactions taking place in our economies to get us back to where we are. And a big part of getting back to where we were is the economic transactions involving our sale of hotel rooms to tourists, our sale of docking facilities to tourists and all those kinds of stuff. That is in a minimal part. That is a direct 20% and an indirect and an induced additional 40, 50% of your economy, putting as much as 70% of the burden of your economy on that those transactions. They are not a half and half proposition. Tourism, direct and induced transactions in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas puts you at a conservative 60% and at a more liberal as much as 70% of your economic realities. Okay? And so until the trust comes back, along with the removal of the conditionalities, we don't see a return to the levels that we would like. We're going to take our final break because we've got just up until 3 o'clock. Pay some respects to our sponsors. Thank God for them. And we'll be back after this break.
Storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, letting you know that you It's the beginning of the hurricane season, and Fidelity Bank is giving you one less thing to worry about. We're not able to control a storm or its path, but we can prepare for it as much as possible. With every debt consolidation loan, Fidelity is giving away fully loaded hurricane kits valued at $200 with all the hurricane essentials you'll need to weather the unexpected storms of life. It's that easy. Sign up for a debt consolidation loan, open an ASO savings or fixed deposit, and walk away with a free hurricane kit. At Fidelity, we're committed to helping you through these difficult times. Fidelity, we're good for you.
Sheila, you okay? I see smoke coming from your window.
Chad, Johnny Mo's burning down the house frying chicken.
Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance, I pulled my phone out, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA rep, sent pics of the damage, filed my claim on the spot.
Wow, I don't think my insurance got that kind of...
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises the public, its customers, and the residents of North Westridge that the corporation will commence improvement works on Lakeshore Drive on August 27, 2020, for a period of 7 weeks. During this period, there may be an interruption in the water supply, road closure, and detour around the work areas. Motorists are asked to avoid this area between the hours of 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience this may cause and appreciates your support as they work to improve their level of service.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to these remaining moments of the show today. We have an abbreviated show because there is going to be a press conference by the Minister of Education at 3 o'clock today. And so we've been just very quickly talking about a clearer understanding of what's happening in our economy from a transactional basis and trying to help you see that it's not just a question. It's not quite so simple as to say it's closed or open, but more or less the extent of economic transactions permissible in that economy and under what conditions. We also made the point that trust is critical in all of that. The availability of money, for sure, but trust also is critical in whether or not and how soon we get back to any level of normal economic transactions in the economy. Let me just say finally here that any public or private economic plan in respect of the Bahamian economy can only matter to the extent that they affect, right? They are able to encourage the availability of money, the flow of money, the velocity of money, and trust within this economy. That's the bottom line. Notice I said public or private plan because they are public sector government plans that can help, but there are also private sector plans that are the bulk of what is actually going to happen because it don't make no difference what the government does if the private sector is not doing anything in the way of increased transacting in the economy. Okay? So we have a heavy bunch of talk we put on government. The government has put a lot of heavy talk on itself. We can do. But we are absolutely off our rockers to not appreciate that the government can have the best plans in the whole planet. If the private sector, in terms of business transactions, supply and demand, and if the is not moving in the direction of increased, more robust activity, nothing happening. Nothing. All that will happen is the government can induce its own activity, but even that activity can only be induced to the extent that the private sector has robust activity for the government to be able to collect taxes from it. I hope you see it. I hope I'm making it clear because I want you to understand. I want you to truly understand it. I don't want you to engage in dialogue, to be engaging in posting and the little that is devoid of a clear appreciation for what has to happen. And what has to happen for the Bahamas' economy both to return to pre-COVID levels and to grow thereafter is that in the greater degree, to the greater degree, private people like me and you who spend, who get employed, and private businesses who hire people like us so we can make money to spend, who make profits so they can stay in business to hire people like us to spend, have to, and including in those private people is millions and millions of people from away who come to the Bahamas to buy stuff through cruises or through airlines and the like, that all of them got to be freed up and feel comfortable and have the means to come and transact in our economy. And if they do not, or if they do not to the same degree that they did before, nothing can change above what may now be our current or slightly more improved realities. Miss that? And you be cussing the government all day for things you shouldn't be cussing the government about, and not cussing them for the things you should be cussing them about. And you will not see in your own self and in the private sector what is required of you and that private sector to do the things necessary to get us to a better place. That's reality. Economies are about transactions, buying and selling, between individuals, between corporations, between individuals and the government, between the government and individuals, between the government and corporations, between citizens and foreigners, between citizens from each other, buying and selling. And buying and selling depends on having monies available, and being able to spend that money, and being willing to spend that money, and feeling free to spend that money. And if those things are not taking place, that money or the credit, to both. How do you get houses? Most of us cannot afford to go put $100,000, $200,000, $300,000, $500,000 and go just purchase outright a house. We can't do it. We have to rely on credit. Many of us can't even afford to buy a car. Just go put $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 down and buy a car. Can't do it. How do you get it? Credit. Can't afford to send our kids to school. How you do it? Credit. Have some medical issues. Can't afford to do it? Credit. So no money, no credit. And the economy could be, in quote, open all it wants to be. It'll still be closed for all intents and purposes because no money, no credit. Simple, simple, simple realities that can help you to more profoundly see what is at stake and what is required so that you can and I can more intelligently speak to the plans of both the private and the public sector when we see them, if ever we see them. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to See Live. I'm Shivago Langyong. Host, there is going to be an education press conference. We'll stay tuned for that. God bless you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. And my very special guest will be Mrs. Elma Garraway. We'll see you tomorrow. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand.